Thanks for coming out today to pay tribute to my dad. We are here to remember Robert Joseph Skelton, son of Melvin and Martha Skelton, siblings of Denise and Mike, father of Nick, me, and Bobby. My dad was born on February 1st, 1958, and went home on December 20th. Losing my father is one of the most difficult things I've gone through in life this far. Doesn't seem quite real. My dad is gone from this world. Part of me is waiting for him to call me this week to see how it went. It hurts all of us. As I'm standing here today, I realize how fortunate I was to have him as my father. There are not enough words. To express his influence in my life. My dad taught me how to be a man, work hard, and never give up. My dad always said, nothing in life is easy or free, but if you work hard and persevere, good things will always happen. My father is hardworking, strong, loving, and gentle. He loved his family and was a fierce friend. It is through his example that I learned to be a father, how to be the father and husband I am today. And for those of you that know my dad, he loved music, you know, just like, didn't matter what kind, really. And that might be a Skelton trait, you know. They're all musically inclined in some way or artistic. My dad was pretty good on the drums, for those of you that didn't know that. He often turned regular objects into a drum set, like while driving or even not driving, he'd be cooking something and he'd start playing. One of his favorite bands from the 70s was Grand Funk Railroad, and he's turned me onto it too. One of his favorite songs from them was I'm Your Captain. And my dad, he loved the outdoors. Even if it wasn't a beautiful day, he found something good about it. And for those who didn't know, he was almost always shirtless. When you go down and see his pictures, I'd say at least 80% of them he was shirtless. No shame. As a young man, my dad would take us to the gravel pit at Island Lake about every weekend. We would lay at the beach, swim, fish, enjoy Michigan's beautiful splendor. Have like a picnic. Bobby probably remembers some of that. Pulling you in a wagon. Almost all of our vacations were up north to the UP or some mountain chain in the US. He was determined to get to the top, chasing bears. He's a little crazy, you know, in a good way. we would camp, and while we were out there, he would say it was God's creation. My dad, he enjoyed coffee a lot. He enjoyed especially a good cup of coffee from a small diner, and he enjoyed a full, in his words, breakfast. Breakfast. That was his thing. And he would also reminisce of times when coffee was under a quarter and kind of scoff at the prices nowadays, which I can't blame him. Those are just a few of the memories that I had with my dad, and many more. Bobby, my brother Nick. I don't have enough paper to list all these memories we shared, or all the good times we had, crazy times we've had. Could probably write a book about most of it. But they will forever be in my memory, so I can replay it any time. I will miss my dad more than words can express. I'm happy I have all those memories we shared, so he can forever be with me and us. Dad, thank you for always being there for us and me, always being a positive influence in some way. I am truly grateful for everything you've done for me. Thank you for treating me as your own and being my dad. I'm sorry we couldn't go up north or do a few things one last time, but I'm happy the last time we spoke, it was a great conversation. I was driving up north to go deer hunting and check on the property, and he called me right as I got to this road called Heath Road, which every time we'd go up, we would pray along this road to make sure everything was safe, we don't get stuck. You know, it's like really treacherous terrain out there. Get shot at, who knows? You never know. But I was happy with our conversation. He was so happy. I was going up north, and he told me how proud of me he was. And I could always count on him after every conversation. He would say how much he loved me and his family. I'm sad you're gone. I can't believe it, but I'm happy you're now living worry-free and pain-free in your mansion in heaven. I will see you soon.
About if we sing 393. We're going to be in the red hymn book for all of our hymns today.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when it is well with my soul.
To open up the podium for some reflections on the life of our dear friend, brother, and father. We'll start off with his brother, Mike.
First of all, I want to thank Curtis Gospel Chapel, you know, for being instrumental in Bob's life, for, you know, pouring the Word of God into him and increasing his faith, giving him hope, and, you know, giving him a place, having a circle of people around him. God works him better in circles than he does in rows, doesn't he? When you got a circle of people around you. And you guys circled around Bob a lot. And I appreciate that. And it started with my grandparents. I want to thank my grandparents, you know, because they planted seeds in all of our lives. They were members of the Brethren Church in Dearborn. And they were the ones that planted seeds in our life, you know. And because my mom and dad, you know, Bob came from a rough background. My dad died at age 41, Bob's father. And my mom was an everything addict, even though the last 25 years of her life she was sober and she was living for God. She was a great woman. She left a legacy. But when we were growing up, she wasn't there. And Bob got shipped off, and all of us got shipped off. You know, so I thank my grandparents. But thank you guys for watering those seeds. And I just want to introduce my wife. This is Cheryl. Could you stand up for a minute? And I want to look. And then my daughters, Elizabeth and Kating, I'd like you to stand up, because you guys have been here. They came, you know, to honor their uncle and to support our family. And then I especially want my sister and my brother-in-law, Denise and Danny, to stand up, because, believe it or not, my mom died, you know, many years ago, and Denise and Danny, because they're one flesh, you know, when you marry, you know, they became a support, you know, for Bob. Basically, you know, Bob had a lot of problems. He had a liver transplant and other things going on in his life. And Denise and Danny have sort of been parents, haven't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve a lot of credit, you know, insurance, cars, you know, doing things for you guys all your life. She's stepped in as a parent. And I want to really give honor and thank her for being there for Bob, you know, all his life, and help Bob, too, in many different ways, you know, financially and all different kinds of ways. So they've been, you know, just great. And, you know, always were there for Bob, you know. So I just thank my sister and my brother-in-law. So now about Bob. Bob, 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 what do we say about Bob? What about Bob? How many saw that movie, What About Bob? Bill Murray. Bob was a lot like Bill Murray in What About Bob, wasn't he? Bob had a great, large, huge personality, didn't he? You know? You know, like I said, I didn't live with Bob a lot, you know, since 9 years old. Some of you might know him a lot better than me, but I think I know him pretty decent. I hope I get some heads nodding. He had a big personality, would not take no for an answer or admit when he was wrong in a debate or a discussion, you know. Like Joe said, he loved the great outdoors, G-O-D. Bob loved, you know, the great outdoors. He loved adventure. He was adventure to a fault, you know. But he was adventurous, warm, friendly. Bob was friendly. Sensitive, could laugh and cry easily. Very sensitive, you know. You know, Bob never met a person he couldn't talk to. Bob wasn't afraid to go up to anybody and talk. He liked people, and people liked Bob. And he liked helping them. Neighbors, you know, all his neighbors knew him when I'd go over there. You know, he'd take me over to the porch, you know, older lady on the porch and talk. You know, we'd talk to her. You know, friends. Strangers, I don't care. Bob liked them, you know. It was more spontaneous, though. Don't get Bob to commit. You know, I mean, it was more like doing the next right thing. You know, whoever was in front of Bob, you know, he would help, you know, which is a great trait. Yes, Bob liked to help people and encourage them with a lot of good wisdom and advice, you know, that he got from a lot of people and from the Lord. But Bob really had a hard time asking for help and listening and taking his own advice. But Bob still was very encouraging to everybody. He was a great encourager. Bob had a strong presence. This is about him, you know, being, you know, admitting when he's wrong when debating. Bob had a strong presence and, you know, expressed his feelings passionately. You know, passionate, sometimes loud, sometimes stubborn, but he was always passionate about what he felt. Bob was a close friend. He was loyal to many of his friends, some good, and some of his friends not so good for him, if you know what I mean. And the Lord says, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But I say those who say such things, you know. I don't believe in those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. You know, so Bob, but he was loyal, you know. And a friend is always loyal, and a brother's born to help in time of need. And Bob was loyal. That's a good trait to have. Loyalty, you know. Bob had a funny laugh, and he used it a lot. Gregarious, you know. He had that husky laugh, you know. Love to hear him laugh, you know. And like I said, like Joe mentioned, he loved the great outdoors. He loved being outside in God's creation, you know. The rivers, the lakes, the mountains up in the A-frame up north with the deer, you know, and you and his loved ones. He loved riding that motorcycle, feeling that wind against his face, you know, and with other people. He loved doing that. He communed with God there, you know. Again, G-O-D, great outdoors. I love that acronym. Bob loved the great outdoors. Bob liked adventure, was a thrill seeker, liked to live on the edge. Don't dare Bob to do something. He'll do it. But, you know, sometimes even lately, you know, I remember him telling us about, you know, he's working, painting, and did all kinds of things. And lately he was up like 40 feet up in the air on ladders, you know, painting. And I was like, what are you doing that, dude? You're almost 60 years old. You're going to hurt yourself. But Bob, you know, the reason why he was doing it, because another guy there was not as healthy. He says, I'll go up there. That's Bob. You know, he would just do it out of service. I'll do it. Let me do it. You know, and I remember going to the gravel pits of Bob at my sister's house in Canada, and, you know, they had all huge gravel pit with a really deep, and they had these planks in the side of the rocks. Some were 15, 20, 50. The highest one Bob had to go to. I'm diving off that thing, and there he goes, you know. I go off 100 feet, and Bob dives into the water. You know, Bob, don't do that. You know, it's not good for you. No, I'm doing it. You know, so that was Bob. Bob really valued work. You know, the Lord says to enjoy your work and accept your lot. That is indeed a gift from God. And to work hard and cheerfully at all you do. Work as though you're working for the Lord, not merely your masters. And Bob was a worker. You know, God created the earth and us in 6 days and said, it's good. You know, a lot of people don't value work, but Bob taught that to everybody. You know, and he worked hard. He was a good, hard worker. You know, Bob was very spiritual. Bob knew Jesus Christ as his personal savior. Pretty much every day, Bob read the Word of God. When he got up at wherever he slept, you know, right at his bedside were his Bible, which was all worn out, spiritual material, his big book, our daily bread. He was always into our daily bread. And it was always open to the page. He knew Bob was, you know, was working on that. Bob never quit trying to go deeper with God. I can say confidently that God was on Bob's mind and lips every day of his life. Some of you are thinking, how can you say that with what happened to Bob? How can you say that? Bob had a stronghold in his life that he could not totally let go of. But let me ask you, who of us has not slipped? Who of us do not have defects, sins, ingrained habits that we want to break off and give up, but that it hasn't happened yet? Overeating, lust, smoking, shopping, pornography, working too much, money hoarding, greed. Who even as a devout Christian has not experienced the frustration of the cycle? Sin confessed, do it again, sin confess with these habitual sins. How about the great men in the Bible and women? Saul, the first king, who was possessed with jealousy and envy over David, his servant, because of the praise that his people gave him. He wanted to kill David. And tried many times. He asked forgiveness too at times, but would again return to pursue the death of David. How about David? A man after God's own heart, the word says, committed adultery and murder. How about Solomon, who had 700 wives and 300 concubines, who tried sex, status, and salary to achieve happiness, and he ended poorly. You know, most of the kings in the Bible didn't finish well. Noah was a drunk. Abraham told lies. Samson was a self-centered womanizer. Paul persecuted and killed Christians. The 12 apostles all deserted Jesus in the time of need and had character flaws. Guess what? All these men are citizens of heaven. And guess what? Bob is too. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. My mom's up in heaven giving Bob a noogie. And at the same time, giving him a big hug. Welcome home. You know, none of us do this thing, right? Bob loved our awesome God, and he did his best to love others. Flawed? Yes. As we all are. But Robert Joseph Skelton has left a legacy of a lot of goodness. Can I hear another amen? Amen. So Bob's up in heaven, and he's still giving us advice. Oh, my God. I think he wants us. And I think he wants us to hear this loudly from the scriptures, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Think of all about he endured, Jesus that is, when sinful people did such terrible things to him. And so don't become weary and give up. And Bob would say to us, finish strong, my friends. Finish strong. See you later, Brother Bob. As Joe said, I love you and we love you. I'm sure of that. God bless. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to try my best at this because I'm really sick. Thank you for all coming today to remember my dad. I'm still in a bit of shock and disbelief that my dad is no longer here with us on this earth. Sometimes I feel like he's just going to walk through the door. I always knew I was going to speak for my dad at his memorial, but never so soon. I can't help but to think how proud he would be to see me up here speaking before him at my childhood church. My thoughts are scattered, trying to think of the perfect words to honor my father's life, but they don't have to be perfect. My dad was perfectly imperfect. When I was 3 years old, my dad was blessed with a new liver, that being just one of his near-death experiences. But I thank God that he was in my life for the following 17 years. Those years were filled with some of the best and worst times, those which I wouldn't trade for the world. When I think of him, I think of his jokes and his sense of humor. I'll really miss that. And also laughing at him, for getting mad about spilling coffee on himself or having food stuck in his beard. Stop laughing at me, I'm saving it for later, he would say. I also think of what a great dad he was to my brothers and I. Every trip up north to the property or to the UP, those are some of my favorite memories. Even though at times Joe and Nick were put to work, my mom was reading a magazine and getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, and I was begging to go again on a four-wheeler ride for the 12th time in a row. At other times, we would ride dirt bikes, we would pick raspberries, and we would always end our day with dinner cooked over a fire. My dad always told us to be quiet some nights, so we could admire the perfect silence and the beauty of the stars up there. Then we would pack up the truck or van, round up the dogs, Johnny and Sarah, and be on our way till next time or next weekend. And whether we were coming or going, as soon as we made the turn onto Heath Road, my dad would say a prayer. Every single time since I can remember. No matter where we went, he always found the most beautiful and secluded spots, the true hidden gems, and he never got lost. Well, actually, he definitely got us lost once or twice. But I've never felt more safe than I did with my dad. He lived a crazy life. He made a few questionable choices and went through a lot of ups and downs, but I will forever admire him. He worked hard his whole life. He studied his Bible and always reminded me that nothing and no one can ever come between you and your own personal relationship with God. Within the last few years, my dad had been searching for a purpose in life again after losing sight of it. He told me that he asked God to put the sword in his hand. I'm sure some of you have heard that out of him. It can't be just me. And that he did. So he started helping a lot of people. Not that he didn't help so many people before that. However he could, whether it was odd jobs, rides home, advice, prayer, he would say, I'm helping all these people and God keeps giving me more work. A new opportunity presents itself every day. I hope to pick up where he left off, not only for others, but for myself. Dad, I miss you so much and I wish I could hug you or hold your hand. I know at the end of the day, your strongest desire was to be at peace and to be loved. Although I wish you were still here physically, you're free. Your pain and suffering is gone. I love you and have always loved you unconditionally. The best part between all of this sadness and pain is that you're not gone. Your spirit lives on forever. And I have all of these memories to hold on to make me laugh and smile until someday we meet again. I love you.
My name's Ray Carpenter. I worked with Bob the last couple of years in gardening. And I've been a friend of Bob's for a long time, but when you work with somebody, I heard so much about his family, Joe and Bobby, Nick, especially his brother and sister. He thought so much of you guys. It was never anything negative. And when Joe was telling the story, Joe grew up playing hockey here, and when he was telling the story about Bob and no shirt, me and Josh were working at, it was a gated community. And we had a little time to waste, and me and Josh went out to the car and says, where's Bob? Couldn't find Bob. Well, he's by the pool. Shirt off. He says, Bob, what are you doing? He says, I'm just trying to get more business for Lori. So when you were talking about that, I thought, that's Bob. But I am going to miss him more than you'll know. I mean, it was an honor to call him a friend. And, I mean, just look around. I mean, we were working at a subdivision, and he goes, this is Andrew's old subdivision. So we had to go by Andrew's old house. Andrew Renfrew, he always talked about Andrew. And I see John here. He always loved when John Hutchinson was speaking here, he would be here. He loved listening to John. I think we just lost another brother, Todd, recently. And I thought those two love to ride their bikes together. And if they could, they're riding right now. But you know, as much as Bob loved us, he wouldn't come back here. He's in such a peaceful, we can't even imagine what's waiting for us. And if you knew Bob, you know that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember picking him up here. We would work 3, sometimes 4 days a week. And I'd meet him here and pick him up. And speaking of coffee, I don't know how many times we drove off and had to come back because it was on top of his car. He goes, I got to get my coffee. I says, Bob, I'll buy you one. He goes, no. He says, I want that. Okay, go away. You know, but once we hit Telegraph, we hit 8 Mile, it was time to pray. You know how he was. And he would pray for 5, 10 minutes. And I look forward to that. You know, we at Curtis, we called him our prayer warrior. If you called Bob and talked to Bob, he said a prayer on the phone. If you were down and out and needed him, he said a prayer on the phone. If you needed him, he would come see you. I mean, Bob just loved everybody. He didn't judge anybody. You know, he talked about Joe and his wife, and he was so proud, told me about his house and the land he had and how Joe was really doing good. And he says, I says, well, Bob, I says, you kind of got him on the road. He goes, no, Joe did it. He goes, but I think I taught him how to read prints. And he says, that helped Joe. I says, because him and talk about stubborn. My sister had given a baby up for adoption, Josh's brother, and they look like twins. So I come one day and I said, did you see Lori's child? It's the first one she gave up for adoption. So I show him the picture. He goes, that's Josh. I go hunting with him all the time. I go, no, that's not Josh. We argued for 5 minutes that wasn't Josh. And he was like, really? He says, this isn't a joke anymore. I says, no. I says, this is Lori's firstborn. And he didn't believe me. It took a week or two. Finally, I think somebody else came to him and said, did you hear Lori found her firstborn? And he looks like Josh. He goes, Ray, I got to tell you, you were right. I said, I know I was right. But he would not. When he got stubborn, it was like, but he loved everybody here, and I know everybody loved him. And he didn't care what race, creed, or color you were. And talk about, he could walk up to anybody and be their best friend in 5 minutes. We would be working in these communities, and the ladies would come out. Sure enough, the ladies.
Yes.
And here Bob is, me and Josh working. He's talking to the ladies. Yeah. I go, is that how you get out of work? You got to learn how to talk to the ladies. So, but the last couple of years has been, you know, because we were talking about working in the spring, and he was looking forward to it. And but the one thing I learned the last 2 years I worked with him, how much he loved his family. He talked about them all, but his brother, he was always like this Adonis. I mean, he thought so much of you. And I'm sure everybody here does. So I just want to, it's a time of sadness, but a time of celebration too, that we know where he is. He's with the Lord, and I'm always glad that I would be able to call him a friend and a brother, and someday we'll see him with the Lord again.
How you doing, man? We're going to keep playing phone tag. We must both. I've been real busy, man. God's been blessing me with a whole bunch of work, and I'm sure he's doing the same with you. If not, we're praying about it. But I appreciate you not giving up, and you keep calling me. I keep calling you. Eventually, we'll meet on the good side of things. But thank you for the prayer, and here's another one. Dear Lord God in heaven, thank you for another beautiful day and getting me through a hard day of manual labor work. Thank you, Lord, that you make me physically able to do this stuff. And at my age, it's a miracle. You've done a lot of miracles in my life and in Brad's life also. So we thank you, Lord God, in the name of your son, Jesus. We ask that you continue to help us with our children and with our lives, with work, and with the people that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And God, help us to be a witness and to shine your light, to shine the light that you put in shine, you and Brad, to show this people that we run in contact with there is a better way, and it's your way, dear God. You're the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that we know that, dear God, and that we stand in your life, and we claim your life. And so we just ask that you continue to help us and guide us, strengthen us, and give us that wisdom that only comes from you. We ask all this in the name of my Lord and your son, Jesus. Amen.
For me, I know about 10 years, and I used to come to Curtis 3-4 times a year, and physically I'd see him 3-4 times a year. We became friends right when I first met him. But see, if you were to ask me what his favorite baseball team are, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if he liked sports. I wouldn't know if he liked hunting. I didn't even know your name. But for 10 years, I had a friendship. All he did for me was talk about the Lord. He probably has called me no short of 100 different times we've talked in the last 10 years. And he would call for prayer, and I'd be the one that would need it. Just one time, I'm just going to give you one story. He said, I was in Florida with four of my sons, two of my grandkids, and my wife in one condo. And the grandkids were 3 and 1 or something. It was a tough night or whatever, and screaming, you know, Mickey this, you know, all that stuff. And I walked out of the condo, and Bob called. And it was on a Friday night about 8 o'clock. I remember where I was. He says, the Lord just told me that I needed to call you. And I'm telling you, this wasn't the first time he would do it. I go, Bob, how did you know? I mean, he said, the Lord told me to call you. I want to pray for you. And he wouldn't talk about anything but just go to prayer. You heard what he just, that was back in June when he was working, and he would just stop and pray. And he was a prayer warrior. And for me, that's the only Bob I knew. I didn't know anything. He never joked with me. We might laugh. But when I told people, friends that I've brought here over the years, that Bob passed, you mean that guy from Curtis? Because that's how much he meant to me. Brother, what you said was, oh man, you're exactly right. All of us have issues. All of us have demons. All of us can be taken down. But don't stop short of doing what Bob did and encouraging. Everyone has a gift here. Everyone can talk. Everyone got up, put their pants on, just like I did today. And you came here. And use this as, this is what he wants. Use this as a springboard to encourage others. If you don't think you have some, get on that phone and you pay $200 a month, unlimited texting, and use it for the Lord. I'm honest. I mean it. He meant everything to me through this right here. And it just means the world to me that I'm able to hear it sharing with everyone. I'm glad I could just pull it up. Listen, I didn't even know what that was going to say. I didn't have to worry about Bob Skelton, what he left on my phone. He was so solid and pure when he left prayers for me. And they weren't just, you know, thank you for this food we're about to receive. Thank you, Lord. You know, amen. They were thoughtful and deep and talked about my kids, and he used to ask how they're doing, you know. And so I just want to share that with you. God bless you all. Just keep his legacy going by encouraging others. Amen.
My name is Steve. Where's the one picture of him on the bike? I'd like to take that one up.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, it's my favorite one. To share a few stories about my brother, which is kind of funny. Mike was saying that he liked to ride his motorcycle with his friends. And I can say this, I didn't like riding with Bob. He was just fearless. I mean, when we used to ride our motorcycles on the bike, a couple stories is when you ride a motorcycle, you're supposed to look out for the vehicles on the road. But when I rode my motorcycle, I forgot all about the vehicles. It was what he was going to do on the bike. It's like we'd be riding on the bike and I'd be behind him, and then he'd kind of cut this way. Cut that way, cut in, cut out, and I'm thinking, huh, And I blocked all the other vehicles out. One time me and Danny and him were riding down in by my mom's house. I'll never forget this. We're riding down the road. We're going about 60, 70 miles an hour. And we're going to all go straight ahead. And there's a left turn to this road. And when you make a left on a motorcycle, you way in advance hit your signals to let everybody know behind you that we're going to turn. And all of a sudden, me and Danny and him are going down this road, and all of a sudden, he just stops. And Dan, it was no big deal. We just watched our lives flash before our eyes real quick like that. We were just taking this in, and I remember going to the right, getting around him and going straight back, and then Danny flipping out, slamming the brakes, but it was just unbelievable. The guy was just an unbelievable guy. I swear to God. I've never met anybody like that. My relationship with Bob Skelton was praying all the time, every day on the phone, calling, leaving me messages. His famous quote was to me is, "Lift one up, Steve. Lift one up, lift one up, lift one up." And it was just, he was just amazing. When we would work together, customers, or I'll never forget this time, we were doing a job and this guy wasn't doing good. He was walking down the street and we stopped him and we said a prayer with him and we gave him a Bible tract and it was just like unbelievable. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. His missionary work for the Lord is just incredible, how encouraging he was to people, helping people out, not judging people. Our favorite passage was I read today out of Mark is a father was praying for his sick son. And he says, when Jesus was talking about the word belief, he goes, "Lord, I believe, I pray for my unbelief." And me and Bob always shared that passage out of Mark. It was a phenomenal passage because everybody has their doubts. Everybody has their times where, you know, they're not certain about their faith in Christ. But Jesus is telling us to hang in there and stick with it and Bob would get down and we'd talk and pray over the phone and I would get down and he'd help me with my mom. I'd have a bad day with my mom and stuff like that, but he was always there. But we'd always bring that certain passage up. That's an interesting passage. Lord, I believe. We pray when we don't believe. But other than that, just the praying, I'm going to miss him at the church here. He talked about his kids, his family. He was a phenomenal guy. We're going to miss him over here. It's just like, he was so funny, he's so caring. And like I said, the prayer, I mean, at the clubs, he would pray for everybody and help everybody out. He brought Gene to the church recently. One of his last missionary things he did was bring Gene Schultz to this church. And Gene has been, you know, sober, working, and I mean, it goes on and on, on and on. What we do for the Lord is so true. What you do for Christ will last. What you do for yourself will surely pass. So we want to make our time down here the best we can for the Lord. But you know what? Bob is in a better place. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he is with the Lord, no doubt about it. And Mike, that was a phenomenal illustration you gave with Samson and David. They're all citizens with the Lord, and we read that in Hebrews. Absolutely. No matter, we're all broken. Just like you just said, we're all broken. We're all flawed. We're not perfect. We're all sinners. God says all are sinners, not just some or here and there, but all. So we know our reward is with us in heaven when we die. Let us make the best and go on in Bob's memory and just lift this time and the rest of this time up now. I'll just say a quick prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time that you brought us all together in Bob's memory, Lord. And you know, Bob did a lot for the Lord Jesus Christ down here. And we know he's with you right now, Lord. What a blessing. You know, also it says in the Bible, it's precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Amen. And Lord, we lift the rest of this day up in this fellowship to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, I'm Denise. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic.
And I mostly attend AA instead of church nowadays, but I have been at churches like this all my life. And Andrew's here. Andrew Renfrew, so good to see you. So glad. You inspired me to come up. I wasn't going to. But I want to thank you guys because I realized as I was sitting there, you know, we were raised in an alcoholic home. And now I'm a psychologist, so I just want to share a few bullet points with you. My grandparents were, they really were followers of Jesus. And, you know, my mom was raised in that household, and she happened to be an alcoholic. She grew up, she was an alcoholic, and my dad was an alcoholic, and that's a shame-based disease, and it's a mental illness. And one of the things that happens with that is, you know, I wasn't going to share here because I was worried that, you know, I've been with my brother through all these tribulations and trials in his whole life. And, you know, I did not know you people. And I'm so grateful that you're not judgmental and intolerant like I was worried about. And I'm not worried about that today. And I don't think my grandparents were either. I just think that my family, because we were locked in that addiction, really felt shame about it. And, you know, as little kids, we felt that from our grandparents and from Dearborn Chapel and stuff. And my brother strove all his life to be accepted by you guys. And I really feel it now. I hope he felt it when he was here, because I know that he's where he's supposed to be right now. He's finally got a sponsor. I think he'll accept Jesus as his sponsor, okay? Because he would not accept a regular sponsor that was just another human person because, you know, the shame wouldn't allow it. So, you know, I know he's where he belongs. And my personal, private, precious belief is that, you know, everything that already happened is God's will. It has to be, because God's bigger than everything. And my brother, you know, had he not gone the way he went in his headstrong or messed up, you know, accidental, heartbroken way, he would have died a painful death, and he had enough pain in his life. So I'm grateful that he left the way he did, on his own terms, you know, whatever that means. It's not ours to do or judge or whatever. The Lord has him now, and he has a sponsor, and he's doing fine. And I really want to thank you guys here because you are so loving, and so the things you shared about my brother here today just touched me so much. And the way he was in this place, fellowshipping with you guys and praying with you guys, it's just that you shared that with me, that side of him that I, you know, I was his helper and caretaker. My mom, he was the youngest, okay, and I always illustrate this a little bit this way. I was the oldest. My mom wasn't drinking when I was born. And she didn't start drinking until Bob was born. So I have 31 years sober. How long do you have sober, Mike? Mike has 25 years sober. He's the second oldest. And Bob never had a sober mom. He had me. I was three. You know, I wasn't a good mom. I was three. You know? And my mom already started drinking and was absent, you know, sort of not present as much. And she felt so bad for it in the end of her life. You know, she recognized that and tried very hard and enabled the crap out of him, you know, trying to make up for that. And then she got into the program and recognized going to meetings that she had done too much. She tried tough love. She tried a lot of things. Mom really, really got sober at the end of her life and recognized that, you know, there's only one God, and it's not her, and it's not me, you know. And she really tried to help Bob in the most wise way she could in the end. But they're both with the Lord, you know. They both, you know, they're enlightened now. They know whatever went wrong, it doesn't matter. You know, we're here. And I just want to, again, thank you guys here at this church because, you know, I was worried to come here because I thought, you know, there would be some kind of condemnation or judgment or something like that because I know he felt it inside. I heard that from him, that he never felt good enough, that he never felt like he deserved your love. You know, here, I heard that from him. And I understand today that it wasn't you guys. It was his shame and his, you know, that's part of the mental illness of addiction. It's not your fault. You guys are great, and you always supported him. And I didn't know that till today. So I apologize for my presumption and even thinking that because I was wrong. So thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for coming here today and reflecting on our friend, our brother, Bob Skelton, who's known as Skelly, for some of you guys. We've been brought together to remember Bob's life here on earth. Myself and many others in this room know how much Bob loved his family. Bob would always tell us to pray for Bobby, Joe, Michelle, and Nick. Always. Bob would pray for his animals with me in his prayers. Bob loved his whole family. Bob also loved Curtis Gospel Chapel. And his roots go back to this chapel with his grandfather and Andrew Renfrew. I'm very thankful for you coming here, Andrew. Bob was married in this chapel. His kids went to church in this chapel. They were baptized in this very chapel. Bob did several baptisms himself in this chapel. I used to tease him and call him Bob the Baptizer. Bob and I, on a personal note, we were both assembly boys. And my dad kind of took Bob in and said, you know, you boys got to work real hard to get in trouble. Bob was unlike any other man that I've dealt with. He was an emotional guy. He used to say to me in his emotional stages, Dan, you're my elder, and I need you. And I used to look at him sometimes and say, Bob, I need somebody too. He says, you're my elder. And I think sometimes, was I too hard on Bob? Or was I too easy on Bob? Because Bob was my friend too, man. It was a difficult situation with Bob. His daughter used to be at my house when she was a baby. She was like one of our kids. It just wrenches my heart to see her here talking about her dad. His family knew this about their dad, how much he loved Curtis and the Lord, and that's why they had a second memorial here, and we at Curtis Chapel speak on behalf of all as we thank you so much for allowing us to reflect on our dear brother Bob. We know how much Bob loved his kids, and we grieve with you for your temporary loss of your soft-spoken dad and our friend and our brother. And we're all here to help you through this troubling time, and we're feeling the sorrow that comes with the departure of our dear Bob. We all feel it with you. And I'm reminded of a Bible passage where Jesus, when he walked on this earth, experienced this sorrow. He also had made some dear friends on this earth while he was here. And one of his friends had got sick, and his friends lost their brother, and his name was Lazarus. This passage is found in John chapter 11. The story is that Jesus was out doing his ministry in another town, as he often did. His friends Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were all brothers and sisters. Jesus would stay with them often when resting from his public work. And Jesus loved them, just like we love Bob. Jesus is just like us. And he knows what you're going through, because he loved people too. He had friends. That's why this passage came to my head. And the story goes on that Jesus was out doing his ministry in another town, and his friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, brothers and sisters, they sent word to Jesus that he had died, Lazarus. But Jesus stayed a couple extra days on purpose because he wanted no doubt in anyone's mind when he got there that Lazarus was dead. So when he arrives, he meets Martha and she's weeping. She says to Jesus, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." Jesus was weeping. This is his friend. These are his friends. And he says this to her, "Do not worry, Martha. Your brother will rise again." And she says, "I know he will rise in the last day." And then Jesus said this to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." What he's telling Martha there is he's the very source of a resurrection. He's the very source of life. He's the source of life now, and he's the source of life eternal. And that's what he's saying to Martha and the people standing around there. And that's what he's saying to us today. He goes on to say, "He that believeth in me, though he may die, he shall live." And then he says this, "And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Eternal life is found right now in the moment of Jesus. Whosoever lives right now and believes in me shall never die. Shall never spiritually die again. That haunting feeling that each one of us have of death. And then he says something very interesting to her friend, to his friend, that he know. He says, "Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And he asked you, and he asked me that same question. Do you believe this? Martha answers his question, and she says this, "Yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And then Jesus, weeping, says to her, "Take me to the tomb." This is his friend in the tomb. And she says this, "My brother's been dead for 4 days. He's going to stink by now." And Jesus said something very interesting to the woman who just said, "Yes, I believe you are the Christ." Jesus says to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then Jesus, standing at the tomb, groaning, weeping, says these words, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out with his grave clothes on, the story says, and many of the people that came with her believed. Today, you can have a refreshed faith. If you placed yourself and your faith in Jesus like Martha has and believed, your faith can be refreshed today. Let the Spirit of God work in you. Let it work out its gift in you. You have a gift in you. And that's what Jesus was telling Martha. She already believed. Just like Bob allowed the Spirit of God to exercise a spiritual gift in him, you too can have a refreshed spirit today. Those of you who have placed your faith in Christ for eternal life. Bob's gift was evident. You see, people saw the glory of God manifested in Bob. He was a prayer warrior. That was his spiritual gift. I put it on his motorcycle for him. It said prayer warrior, because Bob was a prayer warrior. And he exercised his spiritual gift and blessed me many, many times. Or maybe you're one of the people that came with Martha and the friends. And you're standing at the tomb today, waiting to see what's going to happen. And you have not believed in Jesus for the gift of eternal life yet. Well, today I hope you do so. I hope you see the miraculous change in Bob, in the spiritual power that was behind him, in his spiritual gift that was given to him from above. He who drinks of the water that I will give him will be in him, a well springing up into everlasting life. And that's what Bob had. He had a spiritual gift in him that sprang up into everlasting life. I know all about Bob, and Bob knows all about me. But I don't care about that. Me and Bob both knew one thing. We were sinners saved by grace. And Bob was a humble guy. I'll tell you what, he used to make me accountable. We both had the same backgrounds. But he used to say, "Dan, you're my elder." Maybe you're here today and you've lost a loved one. Somebody's sick. You've had this gift of eternal life in you for quite some time. And you need a refreshing. I'm hoping that these words from the Savior ring in your heart today and give you a boost like they did Martha and the disciples that were standing there. A refreshing drink for your spirit. I hope it goes on for my brother Bob, because I know that's what he wants. I hope it goes on for anybody here who's got a sore heart, kind of stagnant. Remember, our Savior wants to give you a well springing up into everlasting life. Don't lose your gift. Be like Bob. Be like Bob. Exercise your gift. Don't waste it. We all have our complications, as it says here. And I'm not going to feed anybody's vicarious sin in here with Bob's life. Or today could be a day for you where you take this little memorial and it becomes a springboard for you in your life. And you say, "You know what? I remember I was at a funeral one time for a guy named Bob Skelton, or a guy named Skelly. And there's some things about him I didn't know. He didn't have a double life. He had a new life. And sometimes he just didn't share some of the things with AA guys or whatever, didn't have this life, because the natural man cannot understand spiritual things, the Bible says. You have to be born again and have a spirit within you from above." And you say, "At this funeral, I heard a lot of things. But I heard the words of Jesus say to his friends when he was weeping, that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. See, friends, Bob is with Jesus right now. Okay? He's more alive than he ever will be in his life. And don't ever forget that. Bob is awaiting his resurrected body. Bob is waiting for the words, "Come forth, Bob." I hope you're waiting for those words today, too. Because if you're not, you got serious problems that you don't even know about. Believe me, I'm here to tell you that. Jesus said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Are you guys alive in here right now? Everybody take a big deep breath for me so I make sure you're all alive. Well, he who liveth and shall never die. How would you like to do that today? How would you like to know at this very moment that when you die, you will be in the presence of not only Bob, but Jesus, the very one who said those words? Would you like to do that? I hope you do that today. Whosoever, that means me and you and anybody, believeth in me. It does not say behaveth in me. It says believeth in me. Amen. Shall never die. I praise God that you do that today. It's an eternal decision and an eternal choice. I hope the words of Jesus in John 11, the powerful words of Jesus in John chapter 11, talking to his friends, persuade you today to take a good look at eternal things. We're going to have a little closing now, and we're going to go downstairs and have some refreshments here in a few minutes. On behalf of the Skelton family, we at Curtis Gospel Chapel, thank you so much for coming here. They're going to have open conversations down there about Bob. I'll set a podium up in case you didn't feel like coming up here or you didn't want to be rude and clog up too much time. We're going to have all kinds of time down there. You can say whatever you'd like to say about Bob. And we do a thank you on his family's and our family. Bob's our family too. Bob's our church family. Let's just close now. Our dear God, we do thank you for the life and the legacy and the spiritual gift you gave Bob, the prayer warrior. There's nobody I know that prayed like Bob. And I miss Bob's prayers, and I didn't realize how much I missed Bob's prayers until they were gone. So I thank you, Father, for the time with my friend Bob. I thank you for his ways of being...